Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
I'd like to learn more about the Skagorans.
Everyone knows about the Skagorans.
There aren't any where I come from.
And where's that?
Up north. Quite a ways.
If certain people had their way, there wouldn't be any around here either. I heard about what you did in the saloon today. Deputy Bennings has a nasty temper. Why would you risk getting thrown in jail? It'd be worse.
I don't think that Skagorin's life is any less valuable than mine.
So, what do you want with me?
Well, you are the teacher around here, aren't you?
The first Skagorin I ever saw was today, lying in that coffin.
Seems I'd be more likely to get the truth from you than from the men who put him there.
Hey, Dan, you wanna talk about Star Trek?
Let's talk about Star Trek.
What's up with Star Trek anyways, guys?
I know, what's the deal with
Dan, it? Can you do the beginning bits?
Okay. Hey, Jesse. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Patrick. Hey, guys.
You're vamping a little bit here.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek Possum Cast.
Oh, you messed it up.
I already messed it up. Episode number 161.
Mm-hmm.
I got it. Wait,
what is it?
It's episode 161 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast, and we're doing Enterprise season 3, episode 9.
We haven't done an Enterprise in a while.
I know. Do you know which episode we're doing?
Yeah.
Good, because that would have been bad if you didn't. We're doing North Star.
I actually watched.
Do you remember that game Fist of the North Star?
Yes.
Was
I
that
do.
Related to this? That was like a Game Boy game.
Yeah, it was like Game Boy Nintendo.
Did they have it on Nintendo?
I think it was originally an anime, or I don't know if it's manga or anime. I don't know which is which.
An anime is the animated version
of
the manga.
Yeah, that's kind of.
And you read
I'm
the books.
Silly. I'm
you read
silly.
The books backwards.
Right, that's right. Man. I remember that. I remember I had a Japanese friend, and he taught me.
Sorry.
I know, it's like, I got Japanese friends, too.
I know. Dan made me giggle a lot before we started recording the podcast.
Yeah. No, I guess
that's
I
why
should
I'm
be,
asking him to start the podcast.
I should be more.
We have a friend that's like a quarter
Japanese. I'm trying to comport myself.
Comport yourself.
I'm trying to comport myself.
I should be more specific.
Dan made me literally do a spit take.
Yeah, I did. With the Red Bull. I was going like, wow. Basically the equivalent of like, look at me, I'm Patrick.
Yeah, I can't even, I don't even know what was so funny about it. If you ask me, I think I took a little bit too much podcasting medicine before we started.
It was funny,
and
though.
It made me a little giggly.
You spit tack all the Red Bull.
Spit taken. Did you think that the past tense of spit take was spit tack?
Might as well be.
Tack.
What else would it be?
I don't know. Okay. Don't let me interrupt.
Well,
Fist of the North Star.
I feel like I have to be more specific now that I said, I have a Japanese friend once. It sounds such a stupid. It sounds like a dumb thing.
Some of my best friends are Japanese.
Yeah, exactly. Right. No.
Japanese.
When I was in,
I'm turning Japanese.
First grade, there was
that song was about masturbating.
Okay, that was about smoking weed.
We're off to a bad start.
Well, that's an argument. There's a debate about whether it was the squinting of the eyes because of marijuana intoxication versus the orgasmic.
Either way, it's
orgasmic.
A little iffy.
We're off to a bad start.
I mean, it's a racist.
It's a
racist song.
Part of talking is staying on topic. You know,
I thought we were on topic.
Anyways.
Star Trek.
So I had this friend that I knew from first grade to like third or fourth grade. His name was Tsuyoshi, and his
name was Yoshi.
I think Tsuyoshi's come up on the podcast in the past.
Yeah, you've talked about
have
this
I talked
about,
about
before.
Tsuyoshi.
Yeah,
totally.
And I think
that's why it's believable.
And I think previously you've also been oddly specific about the time frame during which you.
Well, because it was a very important period in my life.
Word. First grade through third grade.
I guess there's something
that's,
like that.
That's a key era.
Well, I mean, when you're a kid, that's a long time. So his name was Tsuyoshi Endo, and his parents were here on business from Japan for like 3 years or whatever. And so he didn't really speak much English, and I didn't speak any Japanese. And so he showed me the Japanese alphabet and like how to pronounce all the alphabet letters. And so I learned how to like read the alphabet. But the problem is, I realized as I was reading it out loud, I was like, I have no idea what the fuck I'm saying, but I can pronounce like the things that I'm reading barely.
Yeah.
And I can't remember a darn lick of it. But yeah, that, I'm guessing that was
that being said.
That being said, manga.
That very important anecdote being conveyed to the audience.
Being it's a nice story.
To confirm what Patrick was saying earlier about reading the books backwards.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Patrick, I want you to do something for me.
Okay.
I'm a little nervous. I want you to tell me
okay.
that you think I'm perceptive.
I mean, I believe I have conveyed to you.
I want you to tell me many times in the past that I've conveyed to you that I believe you to be a very perceptive person. I want you to say it right now. Just say it.
I believe you are a perceptive person.
Thank you. I think so too.
Okay. All right. Does this have to do with last week's podcast?
Maybe.
I can't quite recall.
I kind of was. I was a little short tempered.
I don't think it was that bad.
There was a lot of holiday stuff going on in my lane. I was a little short tempered.
I think
week.
I understand now. This was when you yelled at me for complimenting you.
Well, without diving too deep into it, I did feel attacked at the moment.
Well, and it was probably accurate. You are not known to have a paranoid personality, and that's sounding sarcastic. It is not.
Well,
it is not.
Yeah.
Sometimes I
intended
feel,
to be sarcastic.
Sometimes I feel a little paranoid.
Okay. But, anyway, you're starting the podcast. So continue starting the podcast.
So yeah.
You've said the name and you've said the number.
Okay. And I said, oh yeah, Fist of the North Star.
No, North Star.
North Star.
Oh, man.
Okay, now what's next?
You have to say what season.
I said that before.
Did you?
Yeah, season three.
Did you say which show?
Episode 9, Enterprise of the Star Trek variety.
Yes. Now, by this time, are they calling it Star Trek Enterprise or is it still just Enterprise?
I don't know, but I think this. I think they're doing the drum beat for the opening. I'm thinking. It's been a long time. It's been a long time. Going from there
yeah,
to
I
here.
Think, I think you're right.
It's been a long while. But my five who fear for fear.
You know the words. You're pretending not to know
but
the words.
But my time is finally. Is it time is finally near or here?
Maybe it's both. Depending on the portion of the song.
And I hear the hound of the heart and now. I will touch the sky.
Are you in the. What stage of the Enterprise theme song are you in? Because the standard stages are when you first hear it, you're like, ah, that's silly. And then it starts to aggravate you and you get upset and you're annoyed at it. But then, after a certain amount of time, you crave it and you want to listen to it and not skip it.
Yeah, and I don't
let it get past. It's been such a long time.
So Jesse,
I fucking skip it, or I mute it, whichever way I'm watching it, however it allows me to. If it doesn't allow me to skip it, then I mute the fucking shit.
Do you just like cover up your ears and run around the house?
If that's
screaming.
What I have to do, that's what I'm gonna fucking.
See
do.
Now, Jesse has a more reasonable approach to this because I'm wondering if
he's in the annoyed phase still.
Well, I mean, he might
forever
because like if you get to the crave it phase, is that simply a nostalgic thing or? Or is there some kind of like, you know, because maybe Jesse's too good for nostalgia.
No.
Which I would respect
I'm not,
that.
I'm not Look, too good for nostalgia.
No, but like I would respect. I respect that. I respect
there
like
is...
because nostalgia is fun, but it can be silly. It can be silly if like over applied, people get a little too nostalgic and it's like, hey, hold your horses, buddy.
I think that could be a component of it. I think a larger component of it, certainly my experience of it, is an abuse reaction. It's sort of like sort of a masochistic abuse reaction where it's sort of driven into your mind and you get comfortable. It's like, you know how like
Stone Temple Pilots
depression, depressive episodes, as terrible as they are, they can feel comfortable and envelop you like a warm, heavy, wet blanket. And the Enterprise theme song, I think
like a marsupial's pouch.
Yeah. I think it's kind of like that sometimes where, you know, you have to like it because otherwise your life is just going to be an endless series of miseries.
Well, I will say that they didn't not do themselves any favors by adding that drum beat.
That's positive, right?
Yes, that's positive. All right,
sorry, it took me a moment.
Yeah, I was hoping it was too. That drum beat made the whole thing for me. That's the point in which I started recognizing it as something that I could think about.
More structure,
that drum beat. It's all about that drum beat when they add that in whatever season. I think third or fourth. I think it's third season.
I like the end credits where there's no lyrics and it's got that.
I'm pretty cool with that part of it. I do not approve whatsoever of the intro, but the end bit, I'm totally cool with.
They have a killer, like, generic-ass electric guitar solo. That's pretty awesome. Fun.
And we're, by the way, we will be talking about electric guitar in this episode as we progress into this episode.
Will we?
Any other opening bits that we need to mention? Did we need to talk about the algorithm? The algorithm picked this episode for us. Was there anything weird this week about the algorithm?
So I've been improving the algorithm. One thing, I've sort of added a asymptotic weight that only very slightly modifies things, but it does do something. What modifies it more is I've added more stop words. I found a longer list of stop words, and then I've been analyzing the episodes for words that have been repeated a lot and been like, huh, that should probably qualify as a stop word. It gets really difficult because you come across
words. Stop word is
like
the
when
term
you say Jesse's penis all the time.
Yeah, Jesse's penis. Is that a stop word? We use it as commonly as the word the, so.
But the stop word, that's the term you learned from the librarian on Twitter who tweeted us.
Yeah.
The person who has a degree in library sciences and explained to you.
Yeah. That,
oh, for real?
Yeah, that the word, it's the words you skip because they're not.
Oh, that's right.
I guess they don't add anything. But they were saying something about like how they don't do that as much because of I guess the part of why they use them before is because it's the save on computing power. But mine was just like, I don't care about comparing the word the with each other. So, so questions come up like, is the word man or woman? Is that a stop word? No, I think that that should probably qualify as a usable word, right? Or not. That's hard. It's kind of in between.
About to launch into some sort of spoken word. If you let Dan talk too long, he starts getting rhythmic.
She stole my heart and my cat.
He's like a preacher.
Whoa, man. You remember what that's from?
The Simpsons?
No, it's from a Mike Myers movie. So I married an axe murderer. Yeah, there's some kind of spoken word element to it. It's really hilarious.
It is a film worth seeing.
It's something.
It's something.
I've seen very few Mike Myers movies.
Yeah, you know, well.
Well, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? What are you going to go see?
The main ones.
So anyway, I found some stop words, and it's like, continue. Is continue a stop word? No, I think that's a reasonable word. But word like new, as in K-N-E-W, that would be a stop word. But would N-E-W be a stop word? I don't know which would be a stop word.
Your cadence is getting very weird.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to find myself here. Am I doing a bit? I don't know. Maybe I'm inventing a bit. I'm inventing a bit.
It's a new kind of bit you're doing.
It's a new. Anyway, so I added stop words, and then I decided to, if a word only got spoken I only counted a word if it was spoken like six or more times, because I found that for example, if it only speaks once, then all it takes is one time to fulfill that need. Of course, if you say it, the way my algorithm works is if you have a word.
I'm getting confused. You're starting to like rap. Rap or something.
The way my algorithm works.
You were doing some sort of. All right, you know,
yeah, I was confusing myself.
You take out like past tense.
I'll finish this soon so we can move on. I'm sorry. But
a brief clarification because there could be new users. And Clace is
new
not
users?
Clear.
Are they using?
I'm sorry.
I feel so used.
Okay, listeners, sorry. Dan and
I used to be
system operators back in the day of BBSs, so I have a tendency to use the term users instead
of
audience.
Were you guys smooth operators?
We'll leave that up to the opinion of our users from that time period.
That's right.
Back in the pre-internet days. But.
Well, not technically pre-internet.
Pre-common access to the World Wide Web.
You called me out on that a few weeks
ago. Of course. And you were right to call me out on it here today.
Okay. Okay, so I have an
hypocrisy may be a core component of humanity, but that does not mean that we should not seek to avoid it where possible.
Well spoken. I think that was a very perceptive thing for you to say. You're a very perceptive person, I think. You're very perceptive. I think you're... Oh, Patrick,
you're,
I think
you're
very...
You're in danger of misusing the term perceptive. The point I was trying to make for our new listeners, potential new listeners, people who are jumping around and finding us...
I don't think I was in danger. Shit.
I just look, we don't want the algorithm talk to take over every podcast episode.
Okay,
however, Dan has made an algorithm.
It is useful.
It takes in previous podcast
this
episodes.
This must be so tedious for people who've heard this like five times.
No, they love it. They love it.
No, they eat this shit up. But it takes the previous podcast episode.
Previous podcast episode.
And transcribes it and puts it and does some sort of digital comparison to all Star Trek scripts and produces a ranked list of the Star Trek episodes to suggest to us the next episode that we should discuss on the podcast when we are in need of suggestions.
Let's say that an episode said the word robot twice, okay? And then in podcast we said the word robot twice. That would be a one level. That would be a robot full match. Twice. It would get a value of one. It goes from 0 to 1. So the word robot.
We're getting some more information on the algorithm than we have in previous weeks, Jesse.
It's unfolding.
Because see, Jesse and I don't know what goes into this algorithm.
Information is not knowledge.
Well, for all we know, Dan is manually pumping out these lists.
I'm writing them out. Each, that's what I'm actually doing for those 8 hours. It's transcribing the podcast. It's actually me just writing out lists.
It takes a long time to write out a list of over 800 units of a franchise.
So let's say an episode said the word robot, and in our podcast we said it twice. And
you've just provided that example.
I know, but there's more to say. And let's say our podcast said the word
robot.
Let's say our podcast said the word robot twice. That would be a value of one. Now, if our podcast said the word robot once and the episode said it twice, I think I have it set to be equal to 0.5, but it might be like 0.75. The point being is it's worth a lower value.
I think we said robot like 12 or 13.
It's a value between 0 and 1.
Right. Now, here's what I find interesting anyway. Mm. If an episode says the word robot twice, if we said it once or if we said it three times, that would have the same value. Hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, let's say if you said it once, it would have a value of 0.75. Let's say I'm just making that number up because I can't remember exactly. If we said it three times, it would also have a value of 0.75 because it's an equidistant. The absolute value is the same, meaning like three. If the episode said it twice and we said it once, that's a difference of one. If we said it three times and that said it twice, it's a difference of one. You see? So it's the same distance from it. Anyways, the point being on that was I'm not sure.
Just making sure everyone knows about number lines.
Number lines. And oh yeah, because like
little choo-choo train tracks.
So the problem is when you if you count words that they only say one time, all we have to do is say it once. And generally speaking, I've found that if the episode says a word once, we generally say that word once. That's just tends to be how it all works out. So if you have all these words that just say once and we'll most likely say it once, that means you've got a lot of these words.
It's the words that are in the text of the script.
You end up, yes, text of the scripts.
So
right.
It could be in the title or...
No, it's just in the script.
It's just in the actual dialogue that doesn't have the script cover page. In the script.
Right. So if you're not...
So it doesn't say directed like by Hal Sutherland.
Right. No, correct. Like correct. So if you're not careful, it can... That's why some of the other ones were favoring longer scripts because there's a lot more one-off words that we were matching with one word ourselves, and that's
one
why.
Words.
And so they were waiting level one. They were waiting words that repeated once more than they were waiting words that repeated 20 times. It was all fucked up anyway. So it worked out that if I just didn't count words that were only said five or less times, I actually got a bigger variety. I'm still working on it. Anyways.
Five or fewer. And I think that does
God,
it for...
Oh, God, fuck.
That does it for Algorithm Corner.
You have to understand that I don't have very much time to think about what I say because I know at any minute I could be interrupted and derailed. So I have to get through these things as
totally
quickly
understand.
As
thanks
possible.
For stopping by.
So excuse me, I said less algorithm than fewer. Corner.
It's fine. It's just you know how the internet is.
I don't know anything about nothing.
Dan's Algorithm Corner.
All right. Well, how about we get into this episode.
This is a fluffy ass episode.
North Star.
It's a fluffy ass episode.
Yeah, why don't we just start at the beginning with the very short teaser. Last week had a short teaser on that Voyager episode. This week had a crazy, hilarious short teaser. It was just a dude getting brutally hung.
Lynched.
Hanged.
Hanged.
Hanged, I believe.
I think it's hanged.
It is hanged, yes.
I thought that the hanging bit was all like menacing and the cinematography was all menacing, but then I had a little bit of that 1990s like TV Western guitar.
Yeah.
That undermined the sinisterness a little bit.
Yeah, although like...
And that happened throughout the episode.
Right. So I think that I kind of dig that slidey guitar, Western slidey guitar thing. in certain scenes, yeah. Right? It undermines the more dramatic scenes, but when you're just kind of like cruising around Western Town, it like it's awesome. Borderlands, which I've mentioned before, the game Borderlands employs that those guitars a lot during the game, and it's influenced obviously by Western movies, but it's like something about that guitar makes me
the
feel like I'm a cowboy.
Was used in like every Western movie ever made or something. Like, yeah, like it was. I mean, used it looked in the like most it. The most movies and TV ever. Like this, the town, the Western town set that they used was totally like it's used in it like every Western movie.
Yeah, which I guess it was. It's kind of weird that they. That it all worked out that they just sort of stayed in the old. I mean, they kind of referenced at the end. She was like, "We didn't move forward at all." But
well,
it's
there's
still,
not that many of them. But so it there's was nobody. There's no, you know, they didn't have a Wright brothers.
But it was like, but they immediately
didn't have a Europe and an Asia.
They didn't have a Europe,
and Africa, funneling cultural yeah, influences, right. Cultural pressures.
But you would have
tea and coffee.
You would have thought
massive industrialized
cotton
wars.
And tobacco.
You would have thought that in 200 years, combined with the fact that they had
ironclad ships,
the fact that they lived with some aliens. Plus they were there for 200 years, their fashion would have like at least evolved a little bit.
You would think.
You would expect in some sort of change. However, so on the one hand, obviously this is just not only TV trope, this is just mega Star Trek trope of going to a planet where people live like it's the Old West, whether it's a hologram or these people are abandoned or whatever.
There's people that were like, they were like sort of Irish on the Next Generation, but they were just on some other planet.
Yeah,
and they were, but they were like Irish from like the 1600s.
But
or something. Like,
but from an anthropological point of view, that there is actually no reason to expect things to change all that much. We have evidence of other, you know, things in culture lasting very long periods of time, and more recently, change has accelerated because again, there's this pressure of like billions of people in communication with each other in an industrialized world where things are churning constantly. So it's not like out of the question, but I kind of think, I mean, wouldn't like the trees be different or like, they talk about blue horns and that made me think of like some sort of like alien blue cow.
Yeah.
Right. But they didn't
like, why don't they have like blue leather?
They didn't go into it. Like mentioned it. A lot of the stuff about this episode is like, it could be neater and cooler if they had actually developed some stuff.
Yeah.
It was kind of a bottle episode in the sense that it just all happened on this like one street in this pre-built set.
And they had one like angled view from the Skag angle. They two times at the beginning and Skag. They showed this like view of the city from this one angle. Gosh, I was going to say something that had to do precisely with...
We're going to talk about Skags.
You were going to say something super perceptive, I bet.
Skag.
Yeah, it was going to be super perceptive.
I can let the cat out of the bag to say, brief, I really enjoy this episode. It's super basic. It's like the trope is basic. The idea, like they,
it's an enjoyable trope. Old Western.
Yeah, and they've done it TOS had Spectre of the Gun. TNG had, of course, Fistful of Data's, but also Time Zero is a little bit, it's more San Francisco-y, but it's that still counts in my opinion. Lower Decks, I Extricus went to sort of the TOS version.
Yeah,
and made reference to that.
So
with the horse,
as far as talking about how like the foliage, the trees and the things. The
trees is foliage.
That's foliage.
But does dirt count as foliage? Dirt doesn't count as foliage. Vegetation.
Yeah, dirt is not vegetation.
No, it's not. Okay, but look, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. The flora and the fauna.
Yeah, vegetables. Okay. We were commenting on how the vegetation and the flora, all that stuff, the environment was basically the same as the Old West. They gave a brief explanation about that. They kind of throwaway explanation where, what was her name?
Bethany?
Bethany. She was just like...
Bethany?
I think it was her saying like, they plucked us off Earth and because the reason they took us off Earth is because we like... The habitat of Earthlings at that time in that place was most similar.
They were on the frontier somewhere.
Yeah. Do you think think the movie Cowboys and Aliens was a prequel to this episode?
I don't. I'm not done with my thought yet. I don't know about cowboys.
Well, because these people were kidnapped in cowboy times.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
That's the implication. Is
I never saw that movie.
All right. Well, it's a cowboy. It's a cowboys and aliens.
I would have more insight if I okay. Look, they took the humans. They took the Earth. What was that?
I said context clues.
I get what you were saying. It's just there was nothing. There was nothing for me to add to it because you basically said all that needed to be anyway. So the they took the Earthlings off the planet because their habitat matched the habitat.
They needed labor.
Yes,
I'm
know.
I'm sorry.
Give us your labor.
Yes, I know. My point I'm making is that the reason they said that the reason they grabbed the people off that off Earth and not another planet is because the Earthlings' habitat matched the habitat of the Skags and what they needed at that time.
Right,
that's all they gave us. But it still is kind of like a bullshit reason.
What about the Vulcans?
That was a bullshit reason for them to say like, oh well, we don't want to make any changes at all because you know it's kind of unlikely.
I mean, we know that it's just because it's a TV show.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah,
but
right.
It is funny when this was a high budget TV show, relatively speaking. On the UPN network. So you can see where they spent their money and where they didn't. And they were just like with, by the way, it's exactly with like Fistful of Data's Inspector of the Gun.
They could have done
they could like film it cheaply.
A 1920s episode and done the same thing.
Yeah, because
there
they have
a set available.
And like, and they have costumes available and all that other stuff. So
it's old Hollywood shit.
Well, you'd think they, and right. And I know. I know the reasons they did it, but it still just doesn't change the fact that there's sort of glaring sort of dissonance. And for example, like they overthrew this alien race. Why don't they have some of their light laser guns? Because they specifically said that the aliens had some kind of light shooting guns. So you'd think that, Patrick, you were just talking about how a lot of the progress happens because of different factions sort of like clashing.
Sure.
Interactions. So what we'll think about this one. It's the Earth, the humans and the Skagarans.
They learn nothing from the
Skagarans. And so you'd think that they would get from the Skagarinos, you'd think that they'd get something from them, but they apparently got nothing from the Skags, and the Skags just killed them. Skags just kind of absorbed the human technology.
But they did
have their own encampment, but that doesn't really count.
It's Skagtown.
Skagtown.
Is that in Maryland? Isn't it Skagtown? Skagsville.
Yeah, no, that's Skagsville. my mom and like her sisters always talk about like the Skagsville witch.
Yeah.
Like the Skagsville witch. Dead, but speaking of Borderlands, again, there's actually creatures in Borderlands called Skags. There are these wild
There's these wild.
This is a video game that he's paid to promote.
Yeah, because I've spoken many times.
But he doesn't share it with us. He doesn't share the proceeds with us.
No, I don't.
He just hijacks the podcast hotline.
Remember that movie LoJack? But the Skags.
No, I don't. I do remember an anti-theft device for your car called LoJack.
Wait, what am I thinking with Mick Jagger? Free Jack.
Free Jack.
No. You're thinking of New Jack City.
Oh, man. We're so old.
What an excellent round of.
Was he saying like
connect the thoughts, Pookie, connect the loose thoughts?
Pookie, why are you smoking on that glass dick? Oh no, I said it wrong.
Okay.
He goes, Pookie, why are you sucking on that glass dick? That's how he says.
I mean, to me, I didn't notice much difference.
It's funnier to say sucking on a glass dick than smoking on a glass dick.
Oh, fair point.
But I ruined it anyway.
You ruined it?
I ruined it. We just had this conversation.
Yeah, this was another pre-podcast conversation.
You inscribed a rune.
The difference between being ruined and ruined.
So Skags were wild dogs in Borderlands, and they had guitars. So there was I see.
They had guitars.
They had the steel guitar, the slide guitar,
jangly
thing.
Guitars.
Oh, yeah, they had
jangly
slide guitars.
You know, this is like in the episode where they had the guitar that goes
like resonator guitar.
Yeah, whatever those that all slide around. They have like the what is that slidey thing you put on your finger?
It's called a slide.
Yeah,
it's called a slide.
It's called a slide.
I have a feeling you knew that because you're like a music genius. Dude.
They're either glass or metal usually.
My knowledge of things is actually quite low. I sort of cruise through life on trying to figure out how much I can intuit
from very minimal information
at hand.
The glass slide is the best sound.
You do what the rest of us do.
I don't play with a lot of slides.
I think it's why I like math is because math, you have a formula and you can do so much with that formula. It really feels really lazy. You can just be like, I can just do all this shit with this one bit of knowledge.
I like math.
You put a plus sign over here, put a minus sign over there.
I'm doing
equals
math,
the same
baby.
Thing. Check it out.
At the beginning,
absolute value.
At the beginning, when the
walking up and down the number line.
At the beginning, when they were talking, when
negative
when
five.
The beginning of the episode.
At the beginning of the episode, when Bennings was all talking to that Skag, the Skag all says, "Go to hell," and Bennings goes, "I didn't know Skags believed in hell." Well, it's like the Skags must have had some history of hell, considering that they just said the word hell, right?
It's not a good. It's
maybe
not
it's
good
the universal translator.
But they didn't have universal translators because the Enterprise hadn't come down, so they didn't
had
have
bad
they didn't have universal translators.
Maybe the Skag was saying, "Go to the bakery."
We can presume that. Maybe we can presume
you
that.
No, you're right. They didn't have universal translators.
Yeah, so we can presume they were speaking Skagish or some form of it, like
Skagish.
in like the beginning.
Well, I think it's on this point. I think it's fair enough.
You think they eat Skagas?
I think it's fair enough to to assume that
Skag pipes.
these all white people, all the Skags are white people, all the settler people I believe are white people.
They are.
I think we can believe that these people who were kidnapped for a forced labor colony camp, overthrew their oppressors and then proceeded to teach them Christianity.
Mm.
I think that's not an unusual thing given the time frame that people are coming from and the type of people. I did like the idea, which is an idea that's pushed repeatedly in Enterprise. And honestly, it does make me a little uncomfortable. But the repeated idea that humans are just sort of obnoxious,
mm-hmm.
and Archer is obnoxious, the Vulcans, like the idea that human success is built on us being stubborn and slightly violent and slightly crazy and willing to do stupid things like dream.
dare to dream.
That's a common theme in Enterprise. And Archer basically is making that point again when he learns the story of the Skagerrans kidnapping these folks from old West times. And Hoshi talks about in the logs, oh, there were some reports of disciplinary issues. And then all the logs stopped. And then Archer's like,
they kidnapped the wrong people.
Yeah.
And he means humans. He means, because you don't kidnap humans because they're going to get all clever and do some clever shit.
He took some strange pride in that.
Yes. But that's why I like that kind of gag and joke. That predates Enterprise as a joke about why humans are dominant in Star Trek, when the actual fact is that humans are dominant because it's a TV show by humans for humans.
Funny thing about that.
And as progressive
we're
as it is,
human.
Often, and especially in this particular era that Enterprise is set in, a lot of white dudes, not a lot of women in this episode either. Bethany is a major role, but there's not a lot else going on other than DePaul.
This village has a lot of women
tucked up next to men.
When you talk about like
white men,
humans in sci-fi form or like Dungeons and Dragons form, like when you look at Dungeons and Dragons, the humans are always the ones without any modifiers. It's like the dwarf has like constitution and strength modifiers.
But they can do anything.
But the humans are generic. The humans are always generic. And in sci-fi, the humans are always kind of generic. Well, I mean, you could say in sci-fi it seems generic because they're a representation of us. But in D&D, they're objectively generic because, and I use that word correctly, a lot of people say objectively, a lot of people use that word incorrectly, I'm going to make a big fucking fuss about it. Sorry about that. It's objectively.
It was very preemptive.
Yeah, it was.
That's awesome.
I realized it's good
because the internet's full of crazy people.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, I don't want to use that, misuse that term. I'm not referring to mental illness. I'm talking about pieces of shit.
Yeah, I'm with you. But D&D, like they're objectively generic because there's no modifiers, and like you just saying, Jesse, they can use everything. But like when you talk about like aliens, it's like humans are always like, well, humans' greatest strength is that they're like they dream. Yeah, like you just said, it's like they dream and have
right.
And it's like
none of the other species out in space do that? Like, how did they get out into space in the first place?
Right.
All right, how about this? Let's take a quick break.
Oh, man.
And then we can return to our scintillating conversation.
I'm on a roll, man.
About North
Star.
Don't
stop it.
We'll be right back. All right.
It's the break.
We're back now. It's all good. just sucking on that glass pipe.
Yeah, that's right.
It's gonna get edited out. It was
gonna get edited out.
All right.
He looked at me like I was you're vaping on the podcast.
Welcome back to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. North Star. We kind of got past the teaser and hopped around a few different places, how about
packs a hell of a wallet.
This story is trying to be, and it is sort of an anti-racist story. It's a very
interesting. It's actually an interesting kind of.
It's a very simple and not very well interrogated anti-racist story because they basically cast these Skags as like these are treated as one of many traditionally marginalized communities.
But there's a little bit of a spin on that.
Yes, because they made the Skags evil slavers,
right,
who kidnap them, which undermines, and I know that's potentially a realistic thing, but I can't help but having lived through this post 9/11 era when Enterprise was on, And there's always this little bit, not to get the political, but there was a little bit of, you know, like Archer was more into like beating the shit out of people and doing stuff like that than some of our other captains. And so, I don't know, it just felt a little like, the both sides were wrong. There was a lot of like, the both sides were wrong.
And I don't know if I'm reading too much into this, but like...
And they were all white people.
But, yeah, they're that too. But when they were
saying... Some people, white people with bumps, and white people without so many bumps.
When, yeah, those bumps, to sound like specious here, those bumps look like some weird... pussy boils.
Do you think they itched?
We're all humans.
Do you think they're what?
You think they're humans? White humans.
Do you think they what, Patrick?
White human. We could all be cast in Enterprise.
You're talking about their bumps? Those...
Yeah, their bumps. Do you think they itched?
Oh, itched. Yeah, they seem like they at least pussed. But when they were
talking... I didn't get that. Just putting that out there.
So when they were talking about the Skagarans, like they stole the humans from Earth and enslaved them, and they said like... they were basically saying like...
Yeah, basically.
Should the Skagarans be punished for something that happened 200 years ago? They should just get over it. Something about that felt slightly uncomfortable when you run that in parallel with certain other histories of saying like oh.
Get over it. That was a much more articulate way of getting at exactly what I was trying to say with this sort of Bush era, you know, because I am seriously trying not to be provocative here. I think it's just, it's there. It's hard not to discuss the fact that it's got that vibe of like...
That's the era that...
Get over the fact that your ancestors were enslaved by their ancestors.
Right, right. It's this kind of, sort of like an anger towards guilt,
In principle, the thesis is fine. But because it's not interrogated and they're not talking about, you know, like Archer's, the limit of his progressivism in this episode is that he tries to make it so that they're not getting beaten up or thrown in jail for trying to like learn how to do math. Mm. And that's great, but there's no talk of reparations or anything like that. Maybe in the future. I know the position, the idea in this episode is it's going to take a while, and it'll take a while for us to come back as humans to check on you, probably until Lower Deck time.
Oh yeah, I was wondering. They never followed up on that one.
They got to get up to like warp technology before. I mean, but because eventually,
they're humans.
Eventually,
that's the thing. I was wondering about this because first of all, the Prime Directive Prime Directive does not exist.
Yes,
but does it not apply? Because
it wouldn't apply anyway. But in my argument.
Okay, so here's a couple things. Okay, let's say
two things.
Sponsored
by the Borderlands video game.
A couple things, possibly a few. If you had...
There might be some subcomponents.
If the Skagarans weren't present, and it was just these humans, and the Skagarans... Somehow the humans got zapped over to this planet for some reason, and they were stuck in the 1800s, and it was just them. Would that be considered a pre-warp society? Like, would they be allowed to interfere? Because, like...
It's pre-warp, because
they would be pre-warp, but on the other hand...
It's pre-Wright Brothers.
Like you were saying, they're humans, so which...
I feel like this has come up before, and Star Trek might have gone in multiple different directions on this. The nuance being, you could determine, what do they know? In this case, the humans know, they don't all believe in Earth, but they know that they came from Earth and were brought there by aliens.
And that's sort of like the deciding factor, is the fact that the Skagarans do exist and have all this tech. Like,
if they were just a colony that totally forgot that they were, you know,
when the human
well, because like there's that colony in episode of TNG where Data was it the Ensigns of Command, where...
there's a colony aboard that cube, right, that Picard was going to
quit talking about Picard genociding the cube, the Borg cube.
Oh, no.
I was saying, you know, the colony that had been living for a long time, and they built up this nice place, but then there was going to be, the aliens are going to come and attack and erase them, and so Data has to convince the colonists to leave their planet, because their planet is, like, technically owned by the Sheliak. You know, that whole business? Anyway, my point is that...
They have to be reminded.
Yeah, I don't remember how much those humans... I mean, those humans knew that they were spacefaring. I don't remember if they were warp or not, because they're
those
sometimes inconsistent
knew.
About it.
Those anyway, humans
I think knew. It's the debate is largely immaterial because we're an Enterprise, and because the humans... ostensibly know where they come from. If they believe their own history, which not all of them do.
They were skeptical
about everything except for the heroics of one Mr. Cooper Smith.
Cooper Smith.
What a hilarious name. Now,
he could have been named Smith Cooper. It's the same fucking name.
Does that guy, tell me, what does that guy do? Does he make barrels or does he work with metal?
I can tell you one.
Does he do both?
I think he's a banker.
Do you think he's a barrel? Well, that's the thing is his name is Cooper Smith?
Yeah.
I think he oppresses people. That's an oppressor name.
What if his name was Cobbler Baker?
Cobbler
that's
Baker.
A perfectly fine name.
Baker that's Cobbler.
A delicious name.
That's a delicious name. Baker Cobbler. I like Baker Cobbler.
Bake me a cobbler.
Baker. I can tell you one thing.
Cobble me a bread.
The Skagarans, they call him Rakdar.
Rakdar.
Yeah. Rakdar.
Rakdar.
Rakdar. It means butcher. I tell you, Captain, the Skagarans, they call him Rakdar.
All right. So a thing about Charles Strip Tucker III.
I was actually doing Bethany at first.
Oh, yeah,
and then
you were
I,
doing
then
Bethany.
I, then I,
then
I
veered into the Charles Strip
because I can't help it. Yeah. Triple T, you mean?
Yes, Triple T. It was great seeing him in this episode. He disappeared halfway through the episode.
Yeah, that's sad.
I was wondering, did he get sick or something? Because he was just gone. Like, there was this whole thing with him and T'Pol going to get a horse, and it's all cute because he doesn't know how to use the horse. He's like, I've seen all the John Ford movies.
Yeah, I never seen T'Pol so nervous about anything. Then when she was looking at that, even before he was going to lift her on in the scene in the
shot. There's a long pause of it with him with his hand out. Yeah. Like, and she's just looking at
him. And if you look at the shot before when he's getting the horse, and it's not even, the camera's not even focused on her. She's sort of off to the side. You can see her just easily looking at this horse, what the fuck
Vulcans
is this
aren't
thing?
Gonna get on a horse.
No, smells bad to him probably too.
Oh actually. God, yeah. If a human smells bad, a
she
horse,
was wearing a tie, like a necktie around her head. She should have worn it around her nose.
Yeah,
so
really.
She wouldn't have to smell it.
Well, maybe it's because he heard that.
But
I was wondering
about that. I was wondering where he went because he's all involved in the first half. He got a few of these cute scenes. He's obviously very sexy to see.
He got replaced with Malcolm for some reason.
Well, Malcolm's the one you want to shoot at people.
Is he?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's the security guy.
He showed up to shoot at people.
Malcolm. I thought Malcolm was the tactical officer.
That's what shooting.
Yeah,
people
Yeah, he's
is.
Shooting people.
Well,
tactical.
No, but he's not the security shooter. He's like the ship computer shooter.
No, he was effectively the.
He's a computer. He's a computer. He's a computer shooter.
No, he's also the shoot people with guns and hit them in the face with fists.
You're telling me Charles Strip Tucker
the
Turd?
What's his name?
The Turd.
I guess he's an engineer technically.
Technically, come on, he's an engineer. I know you just want to see him get all roughed up in a fight. He can fight. Charles Trip Tucker III can fight when he needs to.
He better.
But he's mainly there to solve problems and flirt with T'Pol.
So why was he there at all?
To ride on a
flirt
horse.
With T'Pol.
Flirt with T'Pol. Were they together at this point?
Everybody wanted to see that kind of
horse. Not really. Well, kind of. Maybe. I forget.
Do you notice those rifles? That awesome that auto aim that rifle had. That when they went we can talk about that later. Maybe
no.
I don't know. Are we talking about that now? I don't know.
It doesn't seem like that significant of a thing to.
Well, because it's the
save
whole,
it for later.
Well, it's the whole scene. The whole scene was that whole Old West stunt scene where you had people falling off buildings in slow mo.
Another trope.
And then
The phaser through the water was great.
The phaser through the water was great.
That legitimately surprised
me. Yeah, that was cool. And you never know.
Dan is using an unusual cadence to cover up the fact that he's forgetting what.
No, I just like saying you never know.
You never know.
It
reminds me
of voice.
That's kind
of.
I'm thinking.
Won't notice,
you ever
I
watched,
my point.
Do you ever remember that show? Do you remember that show Disenchantment? That's still on. That
I do remember that currently airing program.
And Abby Jacobson is that her name?
Abby Jacobson is the voice of Bean.
When I said
on Disenchantment,
do I sound like? Tell me if I sound like Abby Jacobson.
All right.
You never know.
Nope.
Not really.
You never know. Does it sound like Abby?
No, not remotely.
It does not sound like the character I see on the show.
I mean, no. I do think it's great that you've amused yourself. I sincerely find that amusing.
It sounds just like her.
Okay. I guess it'll be a subjective thing to a certain point. But no, you are an excellent mimic in a lot of ways.
Now you're just
I'm not being. Don't get started.
Dan. Please. I don't know what to say at this point,
Dan,
to calm me down.
Whoa.
What are you saying? Are you trying to? Don't try to calm me down.
You do a great. And I didn't say calm down, did I? If I did, I
no,
apologize.
No, you didn't.
Okay, good. I'm usually pretty good at not telling people to calm down.
It's like, calm down.
Why don't you just calm the
pipe
fuck down?
Pipe down, man.
Pipe down.
Kids, why don't you just shut the hell up, kids?
Kids.
Calm down. No, you do a great Alf. You do a great you do a great young Picard.
Mm-hmm.
Abby Jacobson, not so great. Janeway, like we said last week, you should be replacing. You should be replacing Kate Mulgrew on Prodigy.
He's my number one dad. Hey, Willie!
Let's just go through the hits.
Hey, Willie! He's my number one dad!
Got any cat?
Got any cat?
Yes. I mean,
so
never gets old.
So never
really,
gets old.
It really
so,
doesn't.
So you never know how in the I'm not stuck in a loop.
You never know.
When in Star Trek, when they shoot their phasers at the at background props and things, you never know
when there's gonna be like a squib or something.
Yeah, or if it's gonna have any effect on. Well, speaking of squibs, there was a badass.
What are you talking about when Archer's shoulder exploded in ragged flesh?
Yeah,
just like an explosion.
That was amazing.
Of fucking ragged flesh. You're like, Jesus,
and he's just like, ah.
And you're also like, why is this fucking Bennings dude only shooting motherfuckers in the shoulder?
Yeah,
he shot the sheriff in the shoulder. He shot Archer in the shoulder.
It went clean through, right from behind. Yeah. But
it's fucked up.
So
Archer's shoulder blade was shattered to a thousand. Pieces, shards of bones
that was
just digging into his flesh.
See, no, like, I don't mean to...
Look like a fucking Demogorgon.
Speaking of nostalgia, I don't mean to sound nostalgic, but, like, squibs, like, the CGI, the plug-in CGI stuff
no
where,
good.
Like, the blood spatter does not... It's does not... This totally pales in comparison to something like that, which was awesome. Another good effect, I'm going on a tangent here, was when the ship came down on... When the ship came down
the very next day, the ship came down.
The shuttle ship, because I think in part...
That was awesome.
Because there was so much dust, I think that was smart.
And it was flying behind the building.
Yeah, and it was flying behind the building, and it came down, there was all this dust, so you couldn't, so it hid the CGI stuff, so it, like, I think it's, that was just like a smart usage. Yeah. Like when that the Voyager episode with Sarah Silverman, when they did like the home camera footage of the Voyager flying over. And
that
was
great.
And it was all dark in the distance, so it looked realistic. Because
VHSC recording.
Yeah, and so they were smart. They didn't try to make it too clean. All the dust kind of helped the effect look better, I think. Anyways, I thought that looked pretty good.
That helps get to my point. My thing about this episode was that it was really well executed.
Yeah.
Because last week we talked about this as a clever idea, really great sci-fi idea on the Voyager before and after. The execution, we had a few quibbles with.
Yeah.
This episode, super basic idea and not 100% perfectly like original or anything like that, but well executed.
Yes, and we can go right back to that. I just want to finish my point of you never know, like when you shoot a phaser, if it's going to have an effect on the background, like a fountain's going, or if it's just going to bounce off. There have been many episodes where the phaser...
TNG, it usually doesn't.
It doesn't do shit. But in this episode, the phaser...
Just dead ends into a wall or something.
Yeah, and this one, it made the things... Well,
the
water splash. And he was able to press some buttons to turn it into like cut a hole, like a cartoon hole in the ground.
Straight up cartoon hole.
But they went through the effort of showing, it's like, okay, cut this hole, now I'm gonna press some buttons and put it in stun mode. They could have just like been like, okay, zap zap, and like not bothered with the button pressing, but they went, speaking of execution, it actually does tie into what you're saying. The execution, it was believable.
Well, that's what made me think of it, is those types of things, the cinematography, the direction. It wasn't perfect, but I mean, it was good. I mean, they put a lot of effort into this, a lot of thought, and I also would say that's true of the writing as well. Again, the idea, not original. The Star Trek people go to the Old West and fish out of water, racism, you know, they put in a bunch of tropes. Yeah, a primitive woman gets beamed to ship because she's injured, looks out the window, and is like, I mean, we see that in Who Watches the Watchers and First Contact.
He watched the Watches.
But.
He gave me the watch.
While
it's watching
Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction reference.
There's two, like,
we should
Pulp
do
Fiction
a game
characters.
Where it's like, whenever, like, you drink, and when you're listening to It's Got Star Trek podcast, you have to drink every time we make a Pulp Fiction recipe.
And
you will drink once or so per episode.
And is it,
so make it a big drink.
And which Pulp Fiction character am I referencing when I say use the word watch? Am I using Christopher Walken?
Probably.
You did both. You combined it.
Yeah.
That was so brilliant.
Yeah. It was amazing of me.
Okay.
You should try to do that again. See how many more characters you can combine from Pulp Fiction into one character.
That's not a bad idea.
But the writing, despite not being original,
sorry,
it
baby,
was
I
good.
Had to crash that Honda.
that counts as a separate reference.
Yeah.
The writing is good in this episode. They use those Western tropes and they have that dialogue, like the scene with Archer in the bar, saloon, I should say, when Bennings comes in, to Deputy Bennings at that stage comes in.
It looked like the worst environment to be drinking, like, and he's fucking being all, whiskey. It's all like extra, dry. And, yeah. Like,
and it's like, what time of day is that?
Yeah, it's like, oh, it seems so horrible. Like, who knows? It's like, that's just a misery
they
time
make some
of day.
Nasty ass whiskey.
But yeah, that whole vibe with Bennings and the skag and the threatening thing, again, very tropey, but well done tropey, right? They weren't lazy about it. They might have been lazy about using the tropes and not subverting them in any way at all, really, but they executed them very well. I thought so.
Yeah, I thought so too. And I didn't realize that Scott Bakula made such a perfect Western Old West sort of character. Like, he's got that jaw, of course, and it fits perfectly with that whole outfit. I was buying that whole outfit, man. Like, everything about it.
Not only was I buying it, I ordered it on Amazon.
Oh,
I got a subscription to that outfit.
Did you
with
got a subscription?
Archer inside it.
Are you have it automatically one sent to you once every month for refills?
Yes,
he was.
That's what I was getting.
He was more at home in that outfit than Tucker was.
Yeah, maybe that's what the problem is. Tucker realized he was being.
Tucker's from Florida.
Was like, yeah, you're right. That's a good point. That's a solid point. Now, you know, Billings, only Billings could pull off a hat like that, because if I wore that hat, you all would just laugh and laugh.
Who's Billings?
Bennings?
Bennings.
Bennings, sorry, not Billings. Bennings. But that hat he was wearing, like, that was a laugh.
He was wearing
that was a laugh hat.
He was wearing, like, a goofy hat, but he's such a scary-looking motherfucker.
Yeah, if you're an evil fucking dude, you get to wear the goofy hat.
Yeah, because that's the whole thing with that. That actor is, what's his name? James Parks. James Parks, he's the son of Michael Parks. And James Parks is all over a bunch of sci-fi stuff, because he was on X-Files, Stargate, Stargate SG-1, I should say, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Alien Nation, Space Above and Beyond, Babylon 5. He's in up in a lot of sci-fi stuff.
Who was he on Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
I don't remember, but he was.
Oh.
I can tell you that much.
He did look familiar.
Yeah. And he's got that creepy look. I mean, he's a creepy dude. And he's like one of those actors you feel bad for, because you're like, man, you just kind of look creepy no matter how you hold yourself.
But at that fight at the end, like, I thought he like switched to a different character or something, because I didn't realize he had those beautiful curly locks. At that one point, I was like, is he fighting somebody else now? It's like, oh no, it's the same guy. He just lost his hat, you know?
And they also showed him, he was darkness in this episode. Even during the day, they'd have people filmed in shadows, a lot of that. Did you notice also how there was like this crazy film grain?
Yeah, there was. I at first thought it was because I was railing on last week about Paramount Plus's transfer for Voyager and DS9. I was like, is this that? It's like, that was just, I was done on Poitras.
So
they do better with the Enterprise.
Yeah. So,
Enterprise was during this period, the first three seasons of Enterprise were still shot on film, on 35mm film, and they didn't switch to digital cameras until the fourth season. Mm-hmm. And so presumably this is not a digital effect of film grain, which you do see sometimes, but, I don't know.
And back then it was just thought of they're cheaping out on the thing, but that's what everyone does now.
But for all our minor complaints and laughing a little bit about the fact that all the plants and everything look just normal, it doesn't look like alien at all. They did kind of seem to want to play with the color scheming a little. You know, they made it very harsh. Most of this episode is the colors are odd, and I think the goal was to give it that kind of parched desert but slightly alien environment, slightly different color scheme.
When they were fighting, back to when they were fighting. They were like rolling under that horse. Like, that seems like a dangerous stunt.
Yeah,
get your ass kicked doing that.
Oh yeah.
It was probably. Do you think it was? I was probably probably a stunt person helping out.
I'm sure it was a stunt person.
Oh,
but
sure now.
But regardless of whether it was a stunt person or not, actually there were some good stunts. I watched this over and over again.
Oh no, lots of good stunts.
Because so when the Old West fight scene began and Malcolm shot that dude and he did the slow motion fall, you see Malcolm run over and jump behind some shit. And do this awesome leap. And I paused it. And that looked like fucking the same actor. I don't remember the actor's name who plays Malcolm. It's Dominic Keating.
Yes, Dominic Keating.
And so I don't think that was a stuntman. It was like a cool jump. It was the kind of jump that like wouldn't be unusual for them to have a stunt person for. But it was the dude's pretty agile, you know? Right, so anyway, but there were some good stunts. And but that doesn't change the fact that you get your ass beat by a horse, you know, if a horse is
play around with horses, man.
Yeah. So,
your ass beat.
But we were talking about,
he could bite you.
I was talking about Archer being both good at diffusing shit and starting shit. So he's good at like diffusing shit so that then he can start some shit.
Yeah.
He wants to start his own shit. He wants to diffuse the other person's shit and start his own shit.
Sucker punched that dude. He was like, I forgot to do something. Yeah.
I forgot to punch your face.
That's because he's a human. They kidnapped the wrong people.
Yeah.
Right.
Star Trek.
That's a show we watched.
That's about it. I think.
This episode, I figured it out. This episode takes a place.
You got a rigatoni and noodles.
We
a pepperoni, and a sausage on your pizza.
A gabagool.
A gabagool. You got to eat a gabagool on your pizza.
What is Sopranos, they're talking about, they want some spaghetti with gravy on it.
Spaghetti.
Oh, yeah.
They want some gravy.
Gravy.
We can surmise that they got captured from their planet around 1865 because they were talking about
the kind of guns they had.
Because they were talking about, well, okay, that's another question. But first, real quick, they were talking at the end of the episode about the Wright brothers and their first flight, and they were saying approximately 40 years
more
after.
More like the Wrong brothers, am I right?
I don't know how to answer that.
Humans shouldn't fly.
More like the Wrong brothers, or am I right about being left out? Right about being left.
Mm-hmm. But you were actually saying something that was for real.
Oh, yeah. I was.
Something about 1865.
She started to tell the kids about the Wright brothers.
Yeah, and she was saying like they the first flight happened approximately 40 years after that we left. Yeah. And so
you know what? So excellent deduction.
And that happened in 1903.
And you were talking earlier about how much you liked math. Yeah. And you applied it.
I applied it.
You applied it to a real life circumstance.
Yeah. So I wonder if this works out, though, because the Enterprise takes place in 2151. And they were talking about there were three different time sort of schmoobies they gave.
Schmoobies?
Schmoobie. No, you're schmoopy. So they were talking about different the humans rose up after 6 months. All right. The humans rose up.
That's all the time it takes. Man.
So Archer said at one point, Archer goes, this is out of context, but he goes to Reed, he goes, vessels, and Reed goes, none, sir. Our quantum scans put the earliest structures at over 250 years old. Oldest structure over 250 years old. Later in the episode, Archer to MacReady says, you're judging them on something that happened over 200 years ago. Now it's 200. And then at the end, Archer's like, everyone seems to have their own version. I'm curious to hear the way you teach it to the Skagarans. That wreck at their settlement, was that their ship? And then Bethy says they used it 300 years ago. So we've got the number 250, 200, and 300 years ago.
Maybe,
2150 minus 300 is 1851.
Maybe they're still 19.
So it still falls within the right timeline, but it was about 1865. But they were throwing around all these fucking numbers.
The planet might have a longer year that they're on, and you know, versus their own. Human.
They didn't even specify which year.
Of a year.
They didn't even specify which. Wouldn't they have? Yeah, that's a good point. I was thinking they would have different gravity, but that I don't know how that relates.
I mean, yes, they probably. In a realistic sense.
Yeah. Right? So
Earth normal
class M planet.
Earth to normal gravity.
All right. How about this? Let's take a quick break, and then we can conclude our discussion of North Star. We will be right back. We're back, ready to talk Star Trek. We're back.
Are we?
We're back now.
So I don't know if this counts as unless you had something you wanted to say.
I've got all sorts of things I want to say.
I don't know if this counts as a continuity.
Dan, we've had this talk before.
I did said continuity.
We live in the United States of America, not in the United Kingdom, nor in Australia.
Continuity.
Yes.
Continuity.
We have to be careful about that.
Okay.
It is a cultural thing. Yes, I know. Language is hilarious sometimes. Language is slippery in different cultural contexts.
Slippery.
The poop deck.
Different cultural contexts.
The poop deck.
The poop deck.
Yeah, see, the poop deck is something you can't say in England.
Fanny.
You can't say that.
Fanny.
But we can say that as much as we want. We
can
talk about
a
fanny pack, and it's not like some violently offensive thing.
But it's weird that
why can't you say poop deck?
No, you can't say fanny.
I was joking about that.
Well, fanny, weird.
You can't say peacoat.
I call that silly humors.
Yes. King of the Hill. Fanny, fanny pack is funny because that's like a butt pack, but we also have like my dear Aunt Fanny, like, so that Fanny can be a name, which is funny because we also have Richard, and Dick used to be a name too. Nobody's called Fanny or Dick anymore. I mean,
to be fair, Dan,
Fanny and Dick.
I don't think Dick is extinct as a name.
It's not extinct as a name, but it's not nearly as common as it used to be in the U.S. because, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the name Dick. It's just you don't hear people tend to go by the name Rich before they go by Dick. Rich.
People also tend to refer to door handles rather than knobs.
What does that have to do with anything? Knobs. Yeah, oh, I get it, because knobs.
Yeah, I was riffing off.
You were
of
riffing.
Knobs.
I didn't. I was too slow. Humor. I wasn't
it's
being.
Like this, you know, give and take. You know, yes and.
For a perceptive person, I'm not being my name's being my thing's sake. So. it's weird that we call anyone Fanny to begin with, because that at minimum means butt. At best, it means butt. At worst, it means something else.
Worst? Why would you say worst?
If you're in another.
Well, and most there. Inappropriate. Most silly.
Most silly.
What's sillier, a vagina or a butt?
You know, that's a.
I'm treading on dangerous.
Yes, I think I probably that's won't. I probably won't.
That's a loaded question.
Interact with this conversation.
Add a penis to that. Let's which not, is the silliest, the vagina, the butt, or the penis? Or should I say vulva instead of vagina?
I mean, I don't want to be accused of being like a woke asshole, but I think a penis is pretty silly.
Yeah, that's pretty silly.
Right?
It's pretty silly.
I don't mind being called a woke ass. I think it's kind of cool, actually. But
you could put glasses on a penis.
Yeah. Okay. That's
Jesus, silly. I thought you were talking about putting glass into a penis.
No,
glass
in your you penis. Could.
Do that.
Scrape it on the top.
Okay, so I was talking about a continuity error, and this was...
Oh, that's what got us there.
Yes.
Oh,
no. So this is a conversation between Archer. These are three conversations between Archer and Bethany, abridged. Archer goes, I'd like to learn more about the Skagarrans. Bethany goes, everyone knows about the Skagarrans. And Archer goes, there aren't anywhere I come from. And Bethany's like, where's that? Up north, quite a ways. So right there, he establishes that he doesn't know about Skagarrans. And he goes, he says that like this is, and he says something like, this is the first Skag I've ever met or something like that. Doesn't he say something like that?
Yeah, he said the first Skag I ever encountered was, he says Skagarran I ever encountered was like in that coffin.
I guess there's some settlements scattered about like a certain region, but maybe they don't really know that much about each region, but there's only like 6,000.
They don't even have like telegraph or anything.
Okay,
yeah, they don't even have a fucking telegraph.
Okay, well,
1860s, come on.
Well, he goes, this is the first Skagarran I ever
built a railroad.
The first Skagarran I ever saw today was today lying in that coffin, right? So he says like there aren't anywhere I come from. He doesn't know about Skagarrans. He wants to learn about them. The first one he saw was today. This is established. Later in the episode, when she's cleaning Archer after Bennings popped him in the face. Did Bennings pop him in the face? That's what I have written down. Okay.
I believe so, yeah.
Archer goes, this is later in the episode. Archer goes, you didn't get to finish your lesson. I'd like to hear the rest of it. And Bethany goes, you know the story. Everyone does. He just said early in the episode that he'd never heard of Skags before. Did she seem to forget that? Because like he said earlier in the episode, the first Skag I saw was today. In this next conversation, she's going, he's asking to get the story. And she says, you know the story. Everyone does. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
See?
Although I think one interpretation, and unfortunately I would have to review the episode and or the script to know if this is a fair interpretation.
We already established that he doesn't know anything about Skags, so, and he told her that already. Why is she saying you know the story?
No. To be a little bit more clear, and again, I'm going to lay out a little theory here. I'm going to lay out a defense of the writing of the episode,
and,
which may be undermined by the episode itself because I may be misremembering.
There's a last line that just to reinforce that. Bethany, in reference to Cooper Smith, she goes, to the humans, he's a folk hero, our liberator. I'm sure that's what you were taught. He already said he never met a Skag before.
Okay, so here's where I take issue with some of your interpretation of the on-screen evidence. Yes, he says he never met a Skag before. He doesn't say he doesn't know anything about anything.
He could have heard about
them. He's like, the first Skag I met, that doesn't mean I don't know about them, right?
Certainly he knows about Cooper.
There are people who I have not met in the world, who come from an area of the world that I have not been to, and I haven't met those people, but I can read about them in books or see them on the news.
I read it in a book.
But at minimum, he does say, I'd like to learn more about the Skags. And she says, everyone knows about the Skags. And he says, there aren't anywhere I come. So at minimum, he's implying that he doesn't know much.
Absolutely.
And at most, he's saying he doesn't know anything.
I'm just saying that if I'm in Bethany's shoes, Okay.
It's so incredulous that he'd never heard a damn thing. Like,
she's ignorant.
And it continues when he's asking about, you know, because she says, like, oh, you know about this Cooper Smith motherfucker. And he's like, yeah, but like, you know, everyone's got their own vibe, you know? Yeah. Everyone says their own thing about it. And she's like, okay, I get you. I'm
that
a teacher.
That one guy was related to him.
I guess it would be unbelievable that no one, that there would be someone
unbelievable.
Who didn't. Unbelievable that there would be someone who didn't know the story, considering that the only
Unpossible.
Reason that they're, I guess it's only a few kilometers or something that were, they were, I don't know how long, how big the settlements.
Of course, he's implying that he comes from some further off settlement that nobody, he doesn't give a name and, you know.
Yeah, from a few.
It's a little plot contrivancy.
It says the contrivancy. The human settlements are clustered within a few hundred kilometers of your location. 6,000 humans, less than 1,000 aliens. That's what Reed said. So
100 kilometers.
But you're right. There could have been some kind of rogue. Sort of
it's like
tribe,
60 miles or something.
Archer could have come up. Yeah, it's not that much, but
they don't have a lot of.
But Archer could have. Yeah, Archer could have been part of some rogue sort of tribe that like split off on its own.
Yeah, like up the Greenway.
I just
something.
Thought it was. It could have been clear.
Like up past Bywater, past Michael Delving. Past Michael Delving. You know,
past Bywater.
Yeah,
past Bywater.
Yeah. All right. Any? We're winding things up. I think slowing things down.
Did you think Bennings looked like Sean Penn at all?
No.
I thought Bennings. What about you, Jesse? Do you think Jen?
Maybe a little bit.
I think
maybe
he looked a little like Sean Penn.
I disagree.
Well, I agree with the thing that I just said.
And we all may have these opinions, and it's okay to have them be in conflict.
I think that Sean Penn and Bennings, the character of Bennings, not the actor himself, but the character of Bennings, played by actor
James
Parks. I think they come from the same Cylon model.
Okay, that's possible. Yeah. All right. Good Battlestar. Battlestar reference there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what else is there? We talked about Archer getting shot, which was hilarious.
Yeah.
We talked about the guitar strums being weird. Oh, the other thing I wanted to say about the guitar strums was that part of the time they sounded like 1990s TV show guitar strums, which is already anachronistic because this is in 2003. But other times it veered into 1980s urban cop drama guitar. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Right? You know what I'm saying,
like,
Dan?
Like Lethal Weapon?
Well, I was thinking more like, you know...
A 48 Hours?
I was more TV cop drama.
Like cop rock?
Yeah, like cop rock. Like that bizarre...
Like in the heat of the night.
Which is a real thing that people should look up.
Silk Stockings?
Not like Silk Stockings.
That was what you watched when you were 12 when you thought you might see like half of a boob. Like,
I watched Fraggle Rock for similar reasons. Yeah. I was eternally disappointed. I enjoyed Fraggle Rock. It's just you never saw boobs on Fraggle Rock.
That's... Why would you expect to?
Well, because they're, you know, kind of, you know, all hippity hoppity. They're all shaking their
freaky little Muppets.
I rewatched that.
They're called Fraggles.
I rewatched the Large Marge scene in Pee Wee's Big Adventure for the same reason. I thought there might be some side boob in it at some point, but there never was.
Wait, just the Large Marge scene?
Yeah, in Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah, no, I get where you're.
You're so crazy.
Where you're going? The guitar was wild.
I feel you.
There was a random Star Wars wipe that didn't make any sense.
Yes, I remember. I remember
a
that
sideways
one. Yes,
Star Wars wipe.
Sideways. Speaking of side boob, there was a side
that swipe. Star Wars wipe was so out of left field.
Yeah.
That I can only conclude that there was a crew person or a boom in the shot.
Like a yeoman?
Like, you know, the boom mic?
I thought you said like a
boom
bus
in the shot.
So a person,
boom in the shot.
So I heard a person that holds the boom is the boomin'? Is that what you're saying?
No,
I'm not
that's
saying
the grips.
That. You are free to say whatever the fuck you want to say.
Sounded like you were saying boomin' to me.
The boom in the shot.
Oh, boom!
The boom in the shot.
Not the boom in.
No, the boom in the shot.
Not the boom in the shot.
That sounds gross. It's like it's a whole new porn.
Boom in shot. Boom.
Hey, you see this?
Okay, so the boom in the shot.
Boom in shot. I think there must have been some sort of error that because there was that the scene was the horse going by and like it seemed like it was all good, but then there was that ridiculous wipe. And you have to think that on the edge of the screen or something, there was like just some guy in jeans and a and like a Marty McFly like vest, puppy vest, like chasing the horse or something. You know? I don't know. It was just something happened that made them put that Star Wars, because it's the only one.
It didn't make any sense.
If there were two others, okay, then you could say the director's going for some weird shit that, that just doesn't work. Because they do other weird shit that does work, like we talked about earlier with the shuttle coming down. That was cool. And some of the choices they made in the lighting to make it look a little bit more Western slash alien, those were good. This didn't make any sense. So I have to assume some sort of terrible error, and they couldn't afford to go back and refilm it.
I agree.
And they didn't have the capability at that time to just be like, oh, just stretch it, stretch the image a little bit bigger so we don't see the corner.
No, I agree. That stuck out to me too.
Yeah.
The other T'Pol and Tucker scene was Tucker's all like, what's left? What's left of it? What's Captain?
I don't know what you're talking
about. Jesse, what's happening is he's trying to get into it. He's trying to get, it's been a while since he's done, got to talk like Charles Tripp Tucker III.
It's been a while since we've done an Enterprise.
Captain T'Pol. T'Pol.
He goes. Kind of late at night to be teaching school. It's illegal to teach Skagarans.
Was it the one with the
ship?
With the clone?
What's left?
Was that the
of
last
it?
One we talked about? The Tucker clone?
We never talked about that one.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
We didn't do an episode about the... Oh, no, we did about Similitude. I'm sorry.
I think that was the last one.
Yeah, no, but I thought you were... I was thinking of the unexpected when he gets pregnant.
We didn't talk about that. No, we talked about it, though. We talked about it.
But we can't talk about it unless the algorithm spits it out.
Yeah, spits. Oh, shit. Like you spit out a baby. When he goes...
Boom and shot.
When Tucker talks, they're talking about the ship, and then T'Pol shows Archer, they're talking about what they got from the ship, and T'Pol pulls out some like crystals. We found these in a data module. The only reason I knew they were crystals.
Proto fidget spinners.
The only reason I knew they were crystals is because the transcript I was reading said in parentheses that they were crystals. But do you remember talking about? She pulled out this like this clear the pile of shit. And it like
yes, I do recall was the handful of clear plastic shit.
Did it look like some kind of
polyhedral dice?
Did it look like crystals to you? To me, it looked like some kind of like foot soul Dr. Scholl's like.
Yeah, no, something. It did look Dr. Scholl's.
They never talked about those crystals
foot
again.
Massage
Maybe
thing.
Trip Tucker.
No, they the, did. They when they got back to the ship, that's how they got the logs. They indirectly referenced
stupid.
All the logs and stuff came from
the, all the logs.
Because remember, T'Pol was like, many of them were very damaged, but some of them were not. Yeah. So we got some logs.
So we got some more.
Who are these logs?
And did you notice then when Bethany is teaching school, she's like 9 times 12. Don't forget to carry the one. Then she goes, Ural, and she's referring to a kid named Ural. That kid's name is Ural or Y'all.
Y'all. I didn't catch that. That's hilarious. Mm-hmm. That's a good joke.
That is a good joke.
That's a very good joke.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else? Oh, one thing on Bethany. Apparently, according to Memory Alpha. Hey guys, get a load of this. According to Memory Alpha.
According to Memory Alpha.
The actress who played Bethany was so beloved by the cast.
So beloved? How beloved was she?
Oh, she was so beloved by the cast.
She was from England, wasn't she?
That they were hoping to get her to come on board as a permanent fixture on Enterprise moving forward from that point forward. However, I was unable to determine whether or not this was true or just some marketing bullshit.
Well, this was Memory Alpha, which is canon. If it was Memory Beta, it would be more questionable.
Memory Alpha is just citing some stuff from
interviews. It was Memory Delta.
The actress's name is Emily Burgle.
Burgle,
which is a hilarious name. Mm-hmm. I like that name. I'm not making fun of that name.
It sounds cool. Yeah.
It's just funny that her name is Burgle.
It's spelled in a cool way.
I like that when you talk about like a turd burglar, it's like somebody who burgles turds.
Yes.
Who's
so
a
the
turd?
burgle is a funny word.
Who's a turd burglar?
No, when you say, hey, you're a turd.
Neelix is a turd burglar.
Yeah, he is.
He's a turd. How do you think he makes his stew?
Turd burglar.
Aww.
Burgling turds all over the place.
Oh, I like when Malcolm was like, don't get any closer, or I'll kill her, and he just like fucking shot her.
Yeah,
because they were so. I guess I'm assuming they stunned everybody and didn't kill him.
One presumes.
Where did they get their guns? Where did the Enterprise people get their fucking fancy Old West guns from?
What are you talking about?
Where did they get their?
They did have guns and outfits when they beamed down. Where'd they get them from?
No, I'm saying like, where? How did they get? How did they procure
the proto replicators? They
did they have replicators?
Who knows? Maybe Dr. Phlox has a side business where he puts together. You know, he runs one of those photo booths where you can dress up in different costumes. You know, like they have at the amusement park.
The hats and the vests. Yeah. And stuff. Chaps. Yeah,
and he has one for every era that they could potentially encounter in terms of humans.
When MacReady said, "There ain't nothing like a barber shave to make a man feel civilized," was that meant to like be loaded, like emphasize something? Was that line meant to be like this guy's a real piece of shit?
I think it was more they wanted to set Archer. This is where I thought the writing was good. It was a scene where you're like, what's going on here? He's getting a shave. Is he giving it? Now they could have gone one direction, which we've seen in movies before, where the marginalized person is doing the shaving. So there's an implicit controls versus threat.
But there's also the idea.
But they didn't
that,
do that.
But there's also the idea that because
it was a regular old human. But, right? but his name was Henry.
Regular. He was the barber.
But even the idea that he can afford to get shaves, like that's something that he can do or whatever. I don't know.
But I think really in a narrative sense,
some contraband skag whiskey.
In a TV writing sense, they needed to set up the line for Archer to say, "I feel plenty civilized already."
Yeah.
They wanted Archer to sort of have that line and have that framing and make the subtle point that just because I believe that people shouldn't be beaten up doesn't mean, you know, I'm uncivilized.
Yeah. And it seems like they made the Sheriff MacReady. They actually made him. You could tell that MacReady was good and Bennings was bad because like when Bennings shot Bethany, like the Sheriff MacReady, he looked all concerned. He's like, "Oh no!" Yeah, but Bennings was all like,
"MacReady was a decent fellow."
So he was decent in the end. He was just a little misguided.
I'm not saying it's fair. Yeah. I'm just saying that's how it's always been.
Well, early on, he was telling that dude that, you know, we're just here to enforce the law. We're not here to bust heads.
By the way, MacReady was Lynch played by Glenn Moreshower.
Yeah,
which is another funny name.
Show more of what?
Penis, I think.
Of course.
You know, showers versus growers. This is something that men are familiar with for sure. I'm sure many women are familiar with as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many women may lament. Many men may lament as well.
Men may lament.
Growers versus
Why
showers.
Why isn't it lay women?
May the women.
Lament.
You don't know growers versus showers, just Google it and we're not responsible for what comes up in the search. And note, the search is customized to you when you search on Google. But growers versus showers. But Glenn Moreshower.
Throwers versus knowers.
He's been on a lot of Star Trek. He was on TNG's Peak Performance, playing just like a background ensign. He was on Starship Mine, another sort of alien character, I think. He was on the Enterprise B in Generations. Just as a background, again, another, I think, of the Navigator or something. And he was also on Voyager.
That guy
episode
was the
Resistance.
Captain. Who was that guy that was the captain?
That was the guy from, wasn't that from, wasn't he the guy from, the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
From the movie from the 1980s.
Yeah, that guy, yeah.
Was it Ferris Bueller's Day Off guy?
I think so, yeah.
No, but what's interesting is when you look up those characters, because I was like,
Nelson?
I was like, this guy seems so familiar.
Does he seem familiar?
He looks real familiar. This guy looks so familiar. That I decided to look him up using the internet, and when I looked I looked him up on the internet, he looks so different.
When I looked him up on
these different characters, they just slap a little bit of makeup, take a little makeup off. He looked completely different.
He looked the same.
Sometimes he
different.
Looked like a Starfleet ensign. Sometimes he looked like an alien. But like, he's a great actor. But the point is that I have to pull myself out of this.
Try.
Do not wish to offend. Just having fun.
That's all you got to say.
That's all you got to say. That you can get away with whatever you want.
That's like, you know, you get to like go to, you say, Jesus, forgive. It's like, Jesus, forgive me, right? You're all good, right?
Yeah. If any offense was taken, we do apologize. This is a side effect of being raised as white
people. If any offense
we're white men in the United
States. Isn't that kind of like saying,
we think we can get away with whatever we want.
Isn't that kind of like saying, I'm sorry you feel that way? If any offense was taken, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you feel that way.
I think it depends on the sincerity. And what I do hope we get across is that while we admit that we are likely to make terrible, terrible errors in judgment, we sincerely do not wish to. We were raised in a terrible system, and we've gotten all the privileges thereof.
I like Archer's super noble line. He was all like, I don't think that Skagarin's life is any less valuable than mine.
Yeah.
That was Archer at his most balls in yeah. your face, Noble. He's, he was like, yeah, he was laying it right out for you right there. In case you had any question, he fucking, it's like, of course he doesn't think that.
And see, that's the thing is, it's a good line. It's a good philosophy. It is upsetting to think that it needs to be stated.
Right.
It's upsetting that it's a repeat of stuff that was in Star Trek since the beginning, and this is now the fifth Star Trek series, and they're still having to go back to this story because it's still a problem in the world. So that's mildly upsetting. But yes, okay, good, Archer. We agree with you. But, you know, fairly simple, fairly light.
Scene play.
All right. Anything else?
Odds and
or
ends?
Does that all, does that cover everything? I think we got most of my odds and ends in terms of the
I'm not well versed in the Enterprise, but. Okay, in this episode, they use like some beam 'em ups technology.
Yes,
when that girl gets shot.
Yeah,
but when the show starts, they don't have that technology. Yet,
so right? here's the deal: when Enterprise starts, they do have transporters, but they basically only use them for cargo, and so they're always using the shuttle. And starting in the first season, slowly they start using it in emergency scenarios. There's a great, I think you can find this GIF online, where Jonathan Archer is beamed up in an emergency and he's like in the transporter pod and he's all like, he's all like touching his body like, oh my God, am I here? Because it was like the first time he'd ever been beamed.
Nah.
But by the third season, it's still not the go-to for the transporter, but it's less of an unusual thing because at this point they've all been beamed multiple times, not nearly as many times as, say, on any other Star Trek show prior to or subsequent to this.
And in Picard, they're just beaming like across the earth. They're just beaming from Paris to
They're just walking through little archways and just like zip, loop, zip, loop, leap. Yep. Got to use up them transporter credits.
In Lower Decks, they beam those Duplers onto that party.
Yeah, dude. Beaming Duplers.
All right. I think that's it.
That's it, dude.
I will reiterate
all we have for this week.
The Delphic Expanse.
I will reiterate that I think every single actor pretty much was, other than Hoshi. I don't know. Did we see Mayweather? I just think this was a very white.
He was in the gunfight, wasn't he?
We saw Hoshi.
No, I know we saw Hoshi. I couldn't remember if we saw Mayweather.
She was also in the gunfight.
I just wanted to stress. I found it weird that in this era, in 2003, basically all the actors were white actors playing white characters.
Oh, that you were saying something.
I don't know. It just stood out to me because they weren't even doing that on Voyager and DC, you know, like this.
Well, Mayweather.
It seems like but Mayweather, and he's on the crew. I'm like the whole
Mayweather.
Village.
That feels silly.
This is one of those cases where it was like they were kidnapped from this town and you would have a bunch of people.
They were kidnapped from a wagon train.
They would be all like, well, of course they're all white people because, you know, they were kidnapped from a town and, you know, out in the West in the 1860s. It would all be white people. No, it wouldn't. Read a fucking history book. Yeah. It would have a whole bunch of people who were not fucking white.
It's a town.
In that town doing all sorts of services. So, like, if they were trying to make the point that the aliens specifically stole white people, it goes to that point earlier about, like, being, it's a little skeevy that part of the point of the plot is, like, you should forgive your slavers.
They had that whole slavery plot. It wasn't a direct analog to anything in particular, but do you think it was motivated because they picked the Old West? So do you think they meant to aim it towards like make us think of Native Americans or like, I don't know,
or
do you think the Old West was simply just because Star Trek has a nice long rich history with the Old West?
Well, and they also have access to if we're going to give them the benefit of the doubt, this was just sort of inelegant.
Yeah.
Pulling out an old trope and just sort of be a little bit inelegant like in how they present it.
Studio bottle episode.
But you could also say this is sort of typical of that era, the Bush era, Berman. There have been well-written critiques of Enterprise going in a slightly more conservative direction, a little bit more rah-rah patriotic direction, particularly after
the fucking theme song,
the attacks on September 11th, 2001. So there's some of that maybe going on in there, but yeah, we'll leave that for a debate for cleverer people than us.
That's not what this show's about.
What we will say is that we're going to give the algorithm a break. For next week.
It's tired.
Oh. It's a little tired.
Needs some sleepy.
Oh, that's right.
Also, one of the hosts is traveling next week, so we have we have to pre-record.
Don't dox him.
We're gonna dox him.
So we've decided that next week we will be discussing two episodes of Star Trek: The Animated Series.
Which we usually do.
We're nearly done with season one of Star Trek: The Animated Series.
No, we're not.
Star Trek the Animated Series.
So random.
Season
Get
one.
The fuck out of here.
Episode 14, The Slaver Weapon, and episode 15, The Eye of the Beholder. Not to be confused with the TNG episode, Eye of the Beholder, which is a late season 7, very kind of weird episode of
TNG. They're visually stunning episodes.
Yeah, so look forward to our conversation about that. In the meantime, what you can do is you can
shut the fuck up.
Follow us on social media.
Shut the fuck up.
You can follow us on social media at It's Got Star Trek, Twitter, Mastodon, Instagram, all that stuff. YouTube, we got a YouTube channel. Please subscribe
to
us there.
Fuck out of my face.
You don't actually gotta consume us.
You can shut the fuck up. Get the fuck out of my face.
YouTube, but you can subscribe to us there, and that will give us little happy belly points. If you want to give us,
Patrick's grabbing at his, poking at his. At his
I'm rubbing
midsection.
My belly, and it's just like a happy belly point whenever
happy
you get a little
happy
subscriber.
Belly point.
You get a little subscriber on YouTube. You can also
Scrabber.
Go to the website is www.itsgotstartrek.com, and you can write us an email for some reason at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com if you're like super old school. Otherwise, we look forward
to. I'm 46 and I do emails.
You're not 46.
No, I'm not. I was playing a character with a voice.
You should send us a postcard to our email address. Just write postmark a postcard.
They could send us an Evite.
Evite?
Yeah, or like one of those e-postcards.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. My sentiment is exactly that. All right. So, with that, we will talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Better hold on.